in Acts chapter 17 and Titus chapter 1 would quote a heathen poet before he would quote the Apocrypha. That's how rotten and corrupt the Apocrypha is. The Apocrypha is such a stinking, rotten, low-down, dirty, ungodly mess. But the Apostle Paul would quote a pagan, unsaved writer like Aratus, the native of Cilicia, in his quotation on Acts 17, verse 28, quoting this poet whose same words are found in the hymn of Cleanthes, and again would quote the passage in Acts chapter 1, Epimenides of the 6th century, in Titus chapter 1, verse 12, before he'd quote the Vatican manuscript, Apocrypha, which you scholars have been using for 50 years to correct the King James Bible with. This puts a question in my mind. Do you think you're smarter than Paul? The greatest Christian that ever lived wouldn't even quote it, let alone translate it. And even the King James translators who translated it would not include it as part of the canon. Now, how is it, my dear fellow, that all the Bibles that you approve of and use, the Amplified, Weymouth, Phillips, Moffat, Goodspeed, Berkeley, the New English, the New American Standard, how is it that all these rotten, trashy, horrible, blasphemous, ungodly, dirty, filthy, slovenly, sloppy, unscholarly translations put their hope and faith on a manuscript that has been identified by its location, size, shape, and contents as a piece of irreverent pagan junk? Do you think you had more sense than Paul? I mean, you certainly profess to believe what Paul wrote in the original autographs is the infallible, inspired word of God, do you not? And I'm talking to conservatives who profess this. Well, how do you account for the fact that he quoted a heathen pagan poet before he quoted the manuscript that your Bibles come from? You seem to have a little bit of trouble there, Doctor. The 4th century Vaticanus and Sinaiticus contained the Apocrypha, which is written in the intermediate period between 400 B.C. and the first coming of Christ. And how do you account for the fact that Jesus Christ and Paul never referred to them, if they're so authentic? The RV and the RSV have portions in their apocryphal Greek text for praying for the dead. For example, the 70 verses after 2 Ezra 7:35, which are not found in the AV. Coming on in Bruce, he says the Latin text of the 9th century is found in Syriac, Ethiopic, Arabic, and Armenian versions, page 151 of the footnotes, which means that there is in circulation in Europe in the 9th century a Latin text that is not Jerome's Latin Vulgate, but based on the Old Syriac, Ethiopic, Arabic, and Armenian versions from the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th centuries. Coming on through F.F. Bruce, he makes the note that the Coverdale and Geneva Bible omitted the Apocalypse as one of the inspired books, page 173. Just a note that you will pick up later. Another note, page 185, F.F. Bruce says that Origen used Alexandrian-type text after going to Caesarea. You may make a note of that, because in a while we're going to study this fellow Origen and find out where he traveled and what he taught and what he did and how he messed up the Word of God and mangled the manuscripts and perverted them for his own personal use. He used the Alexandrian type, according to F.F. Bruce, instead of the Byzantine type, after going to Caesarea. Now, Caesarea is over near Antioch on the Palestinian coast, where the Syrian Byzantine type of text is used. Which means that Brother Origen, bless his little heart, didn't mess and revise the Bible until he went and got a real copy of the real thing. And this would indicate or imply, and very firmly, as we're later going to see, that the Alexandrian type manuscripts of Vaticanus and Sinaiticus and Alexandrinus found in Egypt and supposedly written in Italy, according to Westcott and Horn, are ungodly satanic revisions of the original inspired Word of God. But we'll cover more about that later. In reference to the Peshitta, which we made a note on earlier, the text that Rabbula revised, 411 to 435, was the Byzantine text. Another shocker. They all agree about a number of things, and the examination of evidence in regard to the Peshitta was that Burkitt in 1904 said there was no Peshitta before the 5th century, and Rabula Vedessa made it 411 to 435, but that revision was accepted by Nestorians and Monophysites as inspired, and Rabula was a Monophysite, therefore the Nestorians would not accept it. Both reject this theory, Clark and Mangana, 1915 to 1933, and Bubis, 1947, and said in Investigation of the New Testament, page 37, that the one used by Rabula of Edessa says Rabula did not write it or use it, and that he revised it, and the traces of the Peshitta are found in 346 in the writings of Aikalana, the bishop of Edessa, and Rabula made the Peshitta out of the Old Syriac. The Old Syriac came from the 2nd century, and lo and behold, the Old Syriac comes from the Byzantine Syrian Textus Receptus of the King James Bible, F.F. Bruce, page 194, The Books and the Parchments, Fleming and Revell Company, 1963. Sooner or later, you Greek professors are going to get in a jam you can't get out of, and the boys that are going to jam you are the men that taught you. And you Greek professors have got your teaching from the writings of A.T. Robertson, who was an amillennial theologian. He wasn't premillennial. He didn't believe the English Bible as it stands. You say, oh, you can't say that. Well, you just betray your ignorance. You say that any man who doesn't wake up to the fact that the premillennial system is the only system that can rightly divide the Word of God in any version is a very slovenly and lazy man. You spend as much time reading the Bible as you do Mason and Strong and Brickhoff and Dabney and Hodge and Kuyper and John Peter Lang and Clark. You know what you're talking about. But as I was saying, the premillennial system is the way of getting the thing through, and A.P. Robertson was not a premillennialist. And you have these other men that taught you, the textbooks that you use, like Trent's Synonyms in the works of the Greek, and Alford's work, are not really literal, Bible-believing literalists. They are Roman Catholic, amillennial, and postmillennial spiritualists who use the allegorical method in approaching the Book of Revelation and the keys to rightly dividing the Word of Truth. This is why I said my remarks are addressed primarily to you born-again Bible-believing professors. The others are beyond hope. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope for a fool than in him. Now, Tatian. And you remember from the earlier note that Tatian was accused by von Soden, the German, of corrupting all the following texts, Sinaiticus, Vaticanus, and Alexandrinus. And these texts have been listed and commented on. So this is nothing new here, this man Tatian. Tatian does his work in Rome. And he's, according to those two, von Soden, Tatian's diatessen corrupted all these Vatican Sinaiticus manuscripts because there were no apocryphal books in the Septuagint up to 315 A.D. according to Cyril in Jerusalem. Therefore, the apocryphal books were added between 315 and 400, which would make them added at the time of the writing of Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. But that ain't the worst of it. The worst of it is when you study the text theories of textual criticism in regard to how the text was actually constructed. One of these textual theories was in the recension theory by Griesbach, that the Western text made it Rome, and the Alexandrian type text, which even Westcott and Hort think was written in Italy, is two revisions of an original text, which was the right text, and Hesychius revised the corrupt Western text in Alexandria, and then this corrupt text went out all over the country, and this corrupt text then would come from Italy, the Western source, revised at Alexandria under Hesychius, but the Western text corrupted in Italy that came forth would be corrupted by Tatian in Rome. If this theory is correct, what a fantastic thing it is for Westcott and Hort to talk about Rome being an island of purity to preserve the Vatican B text. F.F. Bruce says that Tatian spent several years at Rome before writing the Diatessen, page 195. One of the things Tatian did while he was at it, bless your dear intellectual heart, was he made John the Baptist a vegetarian. That is, he made the locust refer to a plant instead of locust that you actually eat. A perfect example of the spiritual allegorical method of perverting the Word of God. You say there is a locust plant? Well, any fool knows that, my dear professor. We've all read the same books you've read. You don't know anything the rest of us don't know. But let me ask you something. Why is it the locust plant instead of the locust if the passage said locust and not locust plant? You have a basic problem in belief that you're wrestling with, my dear professor. And you did not get your unbelief from reading the Word of God. You got it from reading people who picked up pamphlets taken from Tatian in Rome. Further, F.F. Bruce says that the Peshitta 4.11, 4.35 did not include 2 Peter, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. But when these books were omitted in the Peshitta 4.11, they were omitted after being copied from a Byzantine text that had them. See the information by Hillis, Edward Hillis, in his work on the King James Bible Defended, published in 1956, and page 200. This brings up another interesting problem. When they talk about what a difficult time the poor Christians had to get the canon together and how they arbitrarily the Apocrypha. When they come out Italy, the books are included. Plus, is the disputed center of controversy, and that Rome had ready to perish was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Called out of the land in the King James Bible, you would have been equipped to critically examine the methods of higher criticism and Greek scholarship by the linguists and the textual critics. Which brings up another soul-shattering thought, Professor. Did it ever occur to you that the King James Dime Store Bible is able to critique your methods of study while you are trying to change it? Vaticanus, according to F.F. Bruce, was cited as an authority in an argument in 1516 about 1 John 5:7. This is an argument that Erasmus got into when he was building up the Textus Receptus by the Syrian Byzantine type text for general publication. And the Vaticanus was cited as an authority in an argument in this matter in 1516 at the time of Martin Luther, which means the Vaticanus is not a new discovery or a new find. It is just an old rotten, stinking piece of Dark Age medieval Roman crap found in the Vatican. So, Professor, every time you have told that the ASV and the RV and the RSV is based on latest discoveries of older manuscripts than the King James translators had access to, you are again telling a great big fat cotton-picking lie. Now, if you are referring to the papyrus found, there's some element of truth. But we know you're not. Because the ASV and the RSV and the RV are not primarily from the papyrus. They are from Vaticanus. And if you don't believe this, you've not studied your Nestles and Westcott and Horn Greek text, old fellow. You don't even know the material you're correcting the Bible with. In page 217, F.F. Bruce makes another startling comment, unintentionally and to his own detriment, when he notes that the Waldensians preserve the old Latin readings in their Bible. That is, the born-again, soul-winning, Bible-believing preachers that walked up and down this country in the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th century did not use Jerome's Latin Vulgate revised from the 4th century Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. They used the old Latin readings of the 2nd and 3rd century that are in line with the old Latin Bibles used by the Albigensians, Waldensians, and Huguenots, which come from the Syrian Byzantine Textus Receptus of the King James 1611 A.D. And before you proud, inflated, stuffed-up theologians begin to replace the Textus Receptus with Vaticanus and Sinaiticus, I want to ask you a very personal question. What do you know about being hung by your feet and being roasted to death? What do you know about gunpowder being put in your mouth and your head blown off? What do you know about hooks being put in your flesh and being torn to pieces with hooks and laid on coals and broken glass? Well, my friend, if you're not up to the test or you don't have any credentials like Paul to show that you bear in your body the marks of Christ, may I make a suggestion very humbly? Why don't you just be decent and just shut your mouth about something you know nothing about until you have developed a text that is superior to the old Latin used by the Waldensians, Albigensians, and Lollards in their fight against the Roman Catholic Church, who promotes the Vatican manuscript of the American Standard Version. I mean, somewhere where you have to act like a Christian somewhere, brother, and forget your education. The Vaticanus is called fresh evidence on page 210 of Bruce's work, and yet it is fresh by only about 400 years backwards, according to the statement of page 210. That is, both the comments on both the pages deny what the man has said. Accuracy is important. It's unimportant in making a translation, page 189, Bruce says, but the AV is no good because it's inaccurate, page 233. This is typical of you scholars dumb bungling with what you're trying to talk about. F.F. Bruce suggests that the authorized version is no good because of its inaccuracy. And he talks about how accurate the ASV is. And yet, in getting the primary sense of the meaning of the word in the translation, he has made the statement of page 189 that accuracy is not the main thing. And this brings up a very humorous bamboozle found in the RSV. The RSV, professing to give the English-speaking people a Bible in plain language they can understand, much better than the obscure, archaic King James Bible, has dozens of words in it that are so hopelessly archaic and muddled that a college professor could not even tell what they are without a dictionary. They say, flag, do not flag in zeal, instead of not a slothful in business. Zeal, they say that an egg is the slime of the purslane. And there are probably not three people I'm talking to have any idea what that means. And yet, when the RSV is called on the carpet about these more accurate translations that give the reader clarity, where they're called on the board about clarity, they say this is more accurate, though not as clear. Yet when they are called on the carpet about accuracy in the doctrinal passages, like only begotten Son, John 3:16, they say the primary purpose here is to make it clear, even though it is inaccurate, which means that the translators are subjective hypocrites. I mean, the idea of changing the doctrinal passages on the ground that they're not clear, and then making them inaccurate, and then changing the passages that have to do with nothing, and making them accurate so as to muddle them. I mean, after all, people, I mean, you know, some of you birds I'm talking to, you know, some of us dumb people have just as much sense as you do. Did you know that? Did you know some of us dumb, ignorant people, we know what you're up to. We know you haven't got any sense. And if you did, you wouldn't have any more than we have. Don't you know we pick up these dumb, stupid, asinine translations like the New American Standard and American Standard and read where you've gone through there and translated hell as Hades? Don't you know we have enough sense to know that's not a translation? That's a transliteration. And don't we know that you backslidden, carnal, dead, cold old boys that haven't led a soul to Christ in 20 years, don't you know we know what you're up to when you translate the word uranos in the Greek into heaven, but you're afraid to translate Hades into hell? Now, don't you know we just flat know what you're up to? I mean, my dear fellow, if you're afraid to translate hell, how come you're not afraid to translate heaven? Why, it's ridiculous. The rich man went to Hades in Luke 16, and Paul is caught up to the third heaven in 2 Corinthians 12. Why, my land, ghost, how much time do you think we have to waste with you bunch of nuts? If you can't translate Hades, brother, you can't translate Uranus. The idea of man has to be a Greek to go to hell, but if he's an Englishman, he goes to heaven. All this slop about the great scientific research of the latest scholarly investigation into the scientific findings of the... Why, you... Listen, you bunch of old, dumb, stupid... Do you really think that you're fooling anybody with that kind of stuff? I mean, you claim these new translations are based on older and more science. Do you really think you're kidding anybody that knows half what's going on? Like old Job said many like things. We know your positions of no value, forges of lies. No doubt ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. The revisers,
20th century classical book, which is wrong. And by that I mean this. I mean all these new versions of the Bible. Now this is by F.F. Bruce, page 189, page 233, and page 234. All these revisers have accepted Vaticanus and Sinaiticus as the most authoritative type manuscripts, Aleph and Beta. And yet these manuscripts are written in the classic style Greek, with a classical orthography, a punctuation spelling, iota subscriptum, and endings, and changes in the aorist tense. And yet there isn't a Greek professor listening to my voice that doesn't know that the original autographs were not written in this type of hated Greek. All of which means that this bunch is such a bunch of hypocrites that eventually they had to do the very thing they did. And do you know what they did? Why, bless your little heart, you know what they did? Nestle's New Testament, in the introduction, changes the orthography from the 4th and 5th century to the 1st century orthography of the papyrus manuscripts, the papyrus, and the street language of Koine Greek, so that you dumb Greek professors would think that Vaticanus and Sinaiticus were written in the 1st century by the orthography that appears in them in the Nestle's and Westcott and Hort text. Now, who ever heard of such a hypocritical, damnable thing? To take manuscripts that are not the Bible by Jesus Christ's own statement, to take manuscripts written in the country and city that crucified Christ, to take manuscripts that were corrupted and added books that are not found in there, and then take those manuscripts that are not written on the material the Bible was written on in the style the Bible was written, and then change the orthography and the spelling and punctuation to make them appear to be first century manuscripts. Why, I have no respect at all for a man that would do a thing like that. And when I say the King James Bible is the Word of God, honey, I flat mean it. And when I have no more respect for your scholarship along these lines I've been talking about than if you'd never finished the third grade. As far as I'm concerned, your comments about the King James Bible are just about as authentic and intelligent as the comments on nuclear physics by a 3-year-old Eskimo. For half you Greek professors I'm talking to, you don't know where your manuscripts came from, how they got there, what they're doing in the book, or what you're going to do with them. Again, F.F. Bruce, continuing. The Roman Catholic Church heartily approves of the New English Bible. Page 251. I have no doubt about that at all. My C1901 is, or the new ASV. They are just pieces of rotten, corrupt Roman market. Now, here's an interesting statement by F.F. Bruce. He says that the famous Q document theory, thought up by the Graf Wellhausen, which again reveals the ignorance of scholars, so sick and tired of hearing about it, they're just about ready to puke. Or if you'll pardon me, that there is a Q document somewhere, originates from Tatian in Rome in the 16th. And you'll see why the Q document has been invented. 18, I say to thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. The fable of the Aramaic Q document is a Catholic inversion to prove that here Peter is the rock, for Matthew 16 is Greek. Then it reads Petros, for it would read Petrus for Peter, and Petram. For in Aramaic, the word for Peter and the word for rock is the same word. Oh my God, there just has to be, says the Pope. That proves. Yes? No, it didn't. King James Bible corrected the original Aramaic in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 to 5. Is a superior book of higher criticism that is well able to sort out the manuscript evidence and show you which manuscripts are right and which aren't. And since the rock is defined as Christ by Simon Peter himself in 1 Peter 2 in the King James 1611 A.D., you may safely assume the hypothetical Aramaic is just like the hypothetical Vaticanus and the hypothetical American Standard Version. Just pure tripe without the chitlins. Irenaeus testifies that Marcion and his followers, this is Marcion the heretic, changed books and verses in the Word of God. This is a quotation from the Ante-Nicene Fathers, volume 1, page 434 to 435. Further, listen to me carefully, Professor. You've been teaching all your life, Now it's time for you to sit and get a little lesson. It might help you if you're humble and teachable. I have sat many a day in a classroom with the King James Bible, the teacher's desk open, correcting, recorrecting, revising, and adjusting everything I was ever taught in 22 years of education. Now you sit a while and listen. African fathers and bishops in Rome. Now, did you get the connection between Egypt and Rome? If you find an Ossikian manuscript written in Italy showing up in Alexandria, don't be surprised. And if you find Alexander, Egypt shipping out manuscripts to Constantine, taken there by Eusebius, don't be surprised. 50 copies of Vaticanus with the Apocrypha. Don't jump. African. Did you get that? Especially you Yankees, did you get that? I mean, you've seen those black robe things running down the street. African fathers and bishops in Rome used inferior manuscripts to those that Erasmus had 13 centuries later. Now, that's the statement of Tatian in Rome. That is the man whose Diocletian corrupted the Byzantine Syrian type text and put that corruption out through Africa and Palestine to mingle the text so you couldn't locate the original. That man stated that the African fathers and bishops in Rome used inferior manuscripts to the Byzantine Syrian type text used by Erasmus 13 centuries later. Eusebius. The Council of Nicaea. Secretary. Eusebius, the great writer who never led a soul to Christ in his life. Eusebius, the great post-millennial allegorical friend of Origen. Eusebius edited the fifth column of Origen's Hexapla. And if you don't know what the Hexapla is, you haven't done a great deal of reading, but for the benefit of somebody listening, you might not know what the thing is. It's a six-column higher criticism polyglot put together to destroy the Syrian-Byzantine text. The Hexapla, worshipped by scholars, was made in six columns, published in 1714. In 50 volumes, it was destroyed in the burning of Caesarea by the Saracens, and it was completed in 240 A.D. The first column is the Hebrew text that is different from the original LX text. The second column is a Greek translation of the Hebrew text, the LXX, the Vaticanus type. The third column is Aquila, a contractor under Titus who destroyed Rome and was ordered to rebuild idols. Find out most of his work in 1932, History of Israel, page 457, and Thackeray in 1927, citing the works of Josephus. Symmachus, the fourth column, that was used by Jerome in the Vulgate, he was an Ebionite, that is a man who rejected the Pauline epistles. The fifth column is Origen's edition of the Septuagint, Vaticanus, and Origen chose Theodosius' reading for every place where the Hebrew is inadequate. He published this column instead of column two as the LXX. Theodosian, the sixth column, corrected the LXX of column two and is the basis of all future revisions. He was an Ebionite who rejected salvation by grace. He was amillennial or postmillennial and rejected as correct doctrine Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Now, it is the fifth column, Origen's column of this Hexapla, that's published and edited by Eusebius and Constantine. Ha-ha! Rome, oh-ho, that you Greek scholars worship and bow down to by accepting the West God North Roman Catholic Vatican, Vaticanus. Constantine ordered 50 copies of this so-called Bible from Eusebius after he edited it from Origen. You'll find this in Sir Robert Anderson's work on the Church and the Bible, page 48, and cited too by Ira Price in the Ancestry of the English Bible, page 70. According to this, one of about four gentlemen is the author of the American Standard Version 1901, the Revised Version 1884, the RSV 1952, and the latest garbage to be dumped on the religious market. This author is either Hesychius in Egypt, who revised a Western type text written in Italy, or it is Tatian in Italy, who corrupted the Syrian Byzantine type inspired Word of God and published the Alexandrian type. Or it is Origen, one of the greatest Bible-denying, Christ-rejecting blasphemers that ever lived. who profess to be an Orthodox conservative, and whom you Greek professors think was. Or else Eusebius, the apostate bishop of the Council of Nicaea, who was post-millennial and sprinkled babies to get them into heaven. And you still think the new translations are more accurate. He said, well, why didn't the King James Bible translate baptized immerse? Well, that's easy. You did that to bust the neck of some dumb fellow like yourself, who was going to try to straighten out a map and swallow a camel. Anybody can figure that out. Now, that isn't all. There is fairly good evidence that Eusebius is the author of Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. Remembering, of course, that Tischendorf, who discovered Sinaiticus, thought that both manuscripts were written by the same hand. It is only the Pope that gives Vaticanus the precedence. Only the Pope and Nestles and Westcott and Hort, who did not discover Sinaiticus. This is quoted by Gregory in the Canon and Text of the New Testament, page 345. There is evidence that Jerome used corrupt manuscripts, according to Helvidius, the Post-Nicene Fathers, volume 6, page 338. Which means when Jerome got his Latin Vulgate together, he did not use the Old Latin, Old Syriac, and the Byzantine Syrian type text of the 2nd, 3rd century, used by the evangelical soul-winning martyrs. He used the corrupt, rotten, stinking, putrid manuscripts of Vaticanus and Dee and Claremontanus, Alexandrinus, and those Alexandrian and Western type texts that are used for the new Bibles. Arianism became a state religion for about 300 years after the Nicene Creed was held and refuted. And Constantine received Arius back from exile, and all the bishoprics were filled with Arian bishops. Now, why have I picked up this statement? I picked up the statement from Broadbent, E.H. Broadbent in the Pilgrim Church, page 20, to show you that regardless, now listen to me carefully, Doctor, regardless of the Orthodox conservative profession of the Nicene Council, 325 A.D., the horrible fact is that the Bibles it produced and went by, given to Constantine by Eusebius, made him an Arian who believed in salvation by works, that Christ was a created God, as you find him in the marginal note of the American Standard Version, 1901. And that these corrupt, rotten manuscripts from which the American Standard Version came kept the entire empire Arian, with all the bishops in the empire Arian, as far as 300 years after Constantine was dead. By their fruits you shall know them. And when you find the King James Bible telling you that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16, and find the rotten, corrupt ASV refusing to acknowledge his manifestation in 1 Timothy 3:16, calling Joseph his father in Luke 2:33, calling him a created creature in John chapter 9, where he is used as an object of worship, and where you find the Vatican manuscript referring to him as a begotten God in John chapter 1. You know, my dear professor, if you have enough sense to be able to conjugate a Greek verb and put it in the present and the aorist and the future and the optatives, God bless your soul, honey, you know you're dealing with the devil face to face. And if you don't look it, he's going to trim your feathers, Bertie. Westcott and Hort worshipped the Vaticanus and hated the Textus Receptus. This is common knowledge. You'll find it in Kenyon's Recent Discoveries, page 10, page 71, and Samuel Hemphill's History of the Revised Version, page 55 to 54. The first received text is the Greek Vulgate, according to Westcott and Hort themselves, in introduction, page 138, and the Peshitta, which we've discussed, which we've talked about, the Rabulus Peshitta, 411 to 435, revised from some Byzantine-type text, is revised from this Greek Vulgate. See Bergen Miller, J.H. Gwillen, and by the way, J.H. Gwillen is a Syrian scholar. That is the Peshitta, written about the time of the Vaticanus and Sinaiticus manuscripts, coming at them at anywhere from 20 to 40 years, is based on a Greek, Vulgate, Syrian, Byzantine type text that the New American Standard Version and the New English Bible is based on manuscripts older who have done it unintentionally because of your laziness in investigating with an English Bible which is able to correct your original Greek. The Italic Latin Bible, the Wild Engines, is written in 120 A.D., according to Scribner's Introduction, New Testament, Volume 2, page 250. Also, quoting also Alex Church's The Piedmont, page 288, in Volume 2, page 43. Jerome is this old Itala, with the received text removed. According to Kenyon, our Bible ancient manuscripts, page 169 to 170. Now, look out. The Old Italia, the Old Italic Bible, was in existence 30 years after John wrote the book of Revelation. And if old Tyndale and Wycliffe, honey, accidentally slip a little Latin readings in, like Erasmus, you can bet your bottom concordance that they're getting it from the Old Italia of the 2nd century, which is older than papyrus manuscripts in many cases, and 100 years older than the manuscripts used for the American Standard Version. So, when you tell your students, and I'm not talking as some hillbilly, wild, fundamental, extreme separatist fanatic, so Brother Ruckman, he's the only man I know of that believes the King James Bible is the Word of God. Let me tell you something. When you tell your students that it is based on older manuscripts, these ASV and RSV and RSVs of the King James Bible, I won't tell you flat to your face, sir, you are a prevaricator. In plain words, you, sir, are a liar. And you need to quit lying. You need to pray and ask God to give you an honest tongue. Now, maybe you can't help it. Maybe I'm being too hard on you. I mean, maybe you've been brainwashed by so much junk and have never had the opportunity to really analyze a thing or had access to the proper kind of literature. Maybe you're innocent in your ignorance. But, oh, buddy, God takes men in their heart. And you couldn't have been led astray unless you had desire to be led astray. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, very clearly, Ezekiel 14, verse 1 to 11. You need a little prayer. The Italic Latin Bible, the Wild Engines, used in the Dark Ages, is written in 120 A.D., 200 years before the corrupt Vaticanus of North Africa, which contains the Apocrypha. And the Italic Latin Bible, the Wild Engines, and the Old Italia did not have the Apocrypha in it. And Jerome's Latin Vulgate, produced for the popes, which adds the Apocrypha, although Jerome did not particularly approve of it, is this old Itala, with the received Byzantine Syrian type text, removed. That is, what Jerome did was take the Vatican and Sinaiticus manuscripts of Constantine and revise the Greek Vulgate with it, and made a Latin translation that removes the ancient Old Syriac and Latin readings of the 2nd and 3rd century. Westcott and Nort introduced one piece at a time of their information to the Revision Committee secretly in 1881, and convinced the Revision Committee of 1881 to 1885 that the Vatican manuscript was the neutral text that came from the Island of Purity, cited in Ellicott's Addresses, page 56. Now, I'm not through yet. We haven't yet examined the internal evidence of these passages, or the material of general biblical introduction, or the general survey of the history of the New Testament canon, or the material found in the Manual of Church History by A.H. Newman, used by many of you Baptists. But I'm going to pause here to say something that is based on scientific research into the facts. And the facts are, one, the original, holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible, completely accurate manuscripts are the Greek Vulgate of the Koine vulgar street language of the first century, written on papyrus codices, circulated in Asia Minor, written in Asia Minor, coming out from Antioch where the disciples were first called Christians. These manuscripts went throughout the empire, and from them was translated the Old Syriac and the Old Latin, the Old Italian. And these manuscripts never contained the Apocrypha when they included the Old Testament. They never had anything to do with the Apocrypha. They were never connected with the Apocrypha. And there is not a single Christ-rejecting Jew who rejected these new manuscripts that ever accepted the Apocrypha as being part of the Old Testament. When these manuscripts went down into Africa and out into Italy, they were revised by Origen, Eusebius, and Nicetius. When they got to Rome, they were revised by Tatian and others in Rome, and probably Eusebius in Italy. And from these came the corrupt, godless, eight classical vellum scrolls, or Vaticanus, Sinaiticus, and Alexandrinus. The Peshitta of 411, 435 by Rabula is a revision of this Greek Vulgate, omitting the books that deal with people who mess with the Bible. And the Old Syriac is from this original Greek, and this Old Syriac, Old Italian, and Greek Vulgate are synonymous with the Greek Textus Receptus of the Byzantine period, used by the Waldensians, Albigensians, and coming up into Germany through Hungary and Austria into the Reformation of Martin Luther and the King James 1611 A.D. And I'm going to go into more into that later, too, in detail. If I tell you, professors, that I believe the King James Bible is the infallible, correct, inerrant Word of God, and when I tell you that I believe that that Bible is what God wanted us to have the way He wanted us to have it, without a mistake in it, I am telling you exactly what I am telling you with more evidence than you have for correcting one word of it. Now, if you don't like that, strip your gears and blow out a gasket and burn out your clutch plate. There isn't a fundamental Orthodox Greek professor I'm talking to right now, a born-again, soul-winning, Bible-believing professor I'm talking to right now, that has as much evidence for omitting half of Romans 8:1, or the doxology and the Lord's Prayer and the Sermon on the Mount, as I have for believing that the text you corrected with is a North African Roman Catholic abomination. So why should I believe a word you say?
You obviously don't know what you're talking about. And if you do know what you're talking about, you're a hypocrite. Let's go a little further. I'm reading from a general survey of the history of the New Testament canon by Westcott himself. 7th edition, Macmillan, 1896, London. Westcott of Westcott and Hort says, the Catholic found the word Catholic is found the first time in Ignatius' writing, his Ad Smyrna writing, number 8, page 28. And in this writing of Ignatius, the bishop, for the first time, is elevated to a position even with Christ. He says, quoting Polycarp, that the faith is the mother of us all, page 460. The New Testament says New Jerusalem is the mother of us all, not the faith. And the faith becomes identically later with the Roman Catholic faith. So we see that when you go back here into this time, the first bit of corruption you get into is a North African Latin Catholic corruption. And this is the old woman who puts the leaven in the dough in Matthew 13. So the whole thing is leaven, including you premillennial fundamental scholars I'm talking to right now. Further quoting Justin's work, the Dialogue, LCMC, 106, page 166, he quotes Justin Martyr as saying the Lord was born in a cave instead of a manger, hence the Roman Catholic teaching on that, and the three wise men were from Arabia instead of from the East. He says, he quotes also the Shepherd of Hermas, which is supposedly a Christian law, page 203. And the Shepherd of Hermas is cited by the brother of the Bishop of Rome, page 199. It has no scripture quotations in it. And Christ appears by the Spirit in the Shepherd of Hermas in the form of the church, page 207. This is very, very important because the Shepherd of Hermas is found in the Hesychian-type text use to correct your King James Bible, and it is the Roman Catholic official theology of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, the Christ appears as a shepherd of Hermas. As a real blast. It's found in Sinaiticus, the candlelight of the Church of Christ. The Christian law replaces the Old Testament law, and you still have to obey it. It was not in sympathy with my thesis at all. Westcott says that Peshitta underwent a disciple. Is a revision from a Byzantine-Syrian type text of the Greek Vulgate, his Bible. Now, all this means is the Peshitta that's being used to correct the King James Bible with Africa meddled with Greek and Latin when they got a manuscript. And that Tertullianoch and Caesarea meddled with Greek and Latin. He said everyone in Africa, with Christ, number 2, 16, section 1, that's from Clement of Alexandria, Stromata, number 7, section 17 and 106. Did you notice how they keep talking about Matthew borrowing from Luke, and Luke from Mark, and Mark from Q? When he cites an Old Testament passage, sometimes he... And when you make the stupid assumption of assuming that the Bible is written like other books, therefore to say, how do you know that Peter wasn't the interpreter for all Roberts? How you know Mark didn't interpret Moses? You don't know. Westcott says about History, Volume 3, page 28. In Aristides, for the scriptures used by the church fathers. Now, there's a wild for these new versions. Now, when you go back to a church, fool with the King James Bible, and don't fool with all the slop you professors have been using. And that was used by the intellectual writers and apologists and the so-called church fathers of their press, 1899. We reach on page 281 and 284. Granddaddy. Of you fellows I'm talking to right now, you Greek professors that believe it's your knowledge of the... He went and studied under Ammonius Saccas, one of the most brilliant pagans of his day, to learn how to combat... Origen's conception of God is Plato's conception of God. States. Now, what you know about Plato, born in 427. I mean, you Greek professors sometimes need to kind of watch the company you run with. Plato accepted temporary and physical defeat, confident that in the long run and the final estimate, quote, not possess, and longing for idea, beauty, and wisdom, the decisive. In plain words, Plato was convinced that the most brilliant minds in the world were minds like his own. By the way, is one of Westcott and Horst's readings for a passage we're going to study in a minute, the internal evidence. Why ask? Inserted into the American Standard Version 1901 to fit its company. But Plato never gets around to saying what it is. Exactly like any atheist. This did not follow him. The disciples were first called Christians of North African, Alexandrian, Egyptian, and Scythian type texts when they would not follow the scripture. They were so far ahead of you, bud, they couldn't see you looking backwards through a telescope. Taught a belief in purgatory. Page 178. Salvation by baptism, black robe priests. Sprinkling of infants, purgatory, Origen, Eusebius, Tatian, Hesychius, and the bunch we're now studying. Origen, 255, puts in Hermas, the shepherd of Hermas. Bertie, do you recognize the two pieces? The shepherd of Hermas and the epistle of Barnabas, Andrea, invented and promoted and revised Bibles in opposition to or ever will. Which is why the Sunday school has changed the nomen to KJV. They can't stand that word authorized. That isn't all. Irenaeus, 175, puts in the shepherd of Hermas as inspired. And Constantine's right-hand man throughout is Eusebius. There's our little boy again. The secretary of the Council of Nicaea, the amillennial baby-sprinkling blasphemer that gave Constantine 50 copies of the American Standard Version saying that Jesus Christ was a creature in the marginal note of John 9. Oh, there's no doubt about where your ASV comes from. It comes right from the bottomless pit. The RSV is its right wing and the RV is its left wing. And the rest of the corruption comes from under the feathers in the belly. And Constantine's right-hand man approves of the shepherd of Hermas, page 330, page 307, page 331 of the works cited. And the sources in Origen and Alexandria, what I've just been saying, are found in detail in Origen's Life at Alexandria, published by Arcadio, 1944, and in the Conception of the Gospel and Alexandrian Theology, published by E. Molin in 1938. You will also find it in the 20th Century Encyclopedia of Religious Knowledge, Baker, 1955, Volume 2, in Schaff's Church History, Volume 2, page 791, in the article in Origen by McClintock and Strong. In plain words, when I tell you Greek professors that you are a flat-headed numbskull for promoting the ASV, I am telling you that not on the basis of the poetic beauty or the sentimental value attached to the King James Bible, which you have slanderously said. I say that on the grounds of your own stupidity and ignorance in not knowing what on earth you're talking about three-quarters of the time. You haven't investigated the facts, you don't know the facts. You're just as blind as a bat backing in backwards. And the fact of the matter remains that Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, that are the source texts for Nestles and Westcott North, come from the dirtiest, rotten, most hellish, damnable, God-forsaken, accursed section of the earth that God has never blessed or never will bless in a spiritual sense, and is so corrupt and rotten and hellish in its formation that it is called in the scripture a type of the world. And you born-again, Bible-believing Baptist Greek professors, you sure better pray about that about 3 hours before you get mad and lose your temper at me and try to renounce what I'm saying and the fact that I'm calling a few names. We had some jackass up in Kentucky named John Gilpin and Bob Ross that put out a paper in which they tried to prove that Brother Ruckman couldn't possibly be an educated man because of the type of language he used. And, brother, don't you try to duck this thing just because you don't like my epithets and my plain Anglo-Saxon. Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, everything connected with them before, during, and after their publication is satanic. And if a liberal hears this tape and inclines to laugh at all I've got to say, brother, is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Your college education isn't worth the diploma it's written on if you don't believe in the satanic influence and action. In General Biblical Theology, Reverend Miller, Word Fair Press, 1937, New York, the following quotations. I am this time quoting a man who is sympathetic with the position after carefully taking you through about 18 men that weren't. The LXX, the Greek Septuagint translation of the Old Testament, he says, was finished in 180. It had only 22 books. These are the 22 books recognized by all Hebrews as inspired, and they come to 39, but they are the same books with a different numerical system in the King James 1611. Neither Aquila, 128 A.D., or Symmachus, 200 A.D., had any more books in their columns in Origen's Hexapla than the 22 Old Testament books, numbered 39 in the King James Bible. Saying this carefully and clearly in the matter, to let you know that we studied the Hexapla a moment ago briefly, I'll let you know what the thing was, that not even Aquila, who wrote the third column, and Symmachus, who wrote the fourth column, accepted the Apocrypha as part of the Old Testament. If Vaticanus and Sinaiticus accepted it as part of the Old Testament, which they do, then they are against not only the testimony of God, Jesus Christ, Paul, evangelical Christendom, and Orthodox Jews, they are against the testimonies of infidel Bible critics who lived at the time they were written. Now, put that in your pipe with King Albert and smoke it. I know it says Prince, but you've been reading the wrong translation so long you couldn't get the word anyway. In page 119, page 109, 120, he tells you the Syriac is from the Hebrew and omits the Apocrypha, although the Old Latin, 150 to 175, has the Apocrypha in it. And, of course, the Old Latin, 150-175, has the Apocrypha in it exactly as the King James does, as a separate group of books between Malachi and Matthew, underlined, not canonical. The majority of the Eastern Church, where the Peshitta came from, and the Greek Orthodox Church, was against the Apocrypha until as late as 1638, page 119-126 of the work cited. Tertullian is against the Apocrypha, page 150. The same man who said that everybody in Africa meddled with Greek and Latin. Augustine, bless his good black-skinned African Roman Catholic soul, was for the Apocrypha, 354. Augustine and Origen, being the ones the devil raised up to harmonize science and culture with the gospel. Harnack cited, page 287 of the work by Newman, volume 1, 1899. This is why Paul says, beware of oppositions of science, falsely so-called. At least that's the reading in the A.D. 1611, 1 Timothy 6:20. Your bedfellows may have changed so we can lose the connection. Martin Luther rejected the Apocrypha as inspired. The King James rejected as is inspired. It is not found in any canonical catalog until 400 A.D. at the time of the work of Origen in North Africa, and Eusebius and Constantine. The Egyptian Jews honored it as the Alexandrian canon, page 129. Did you hear that? The Apocrypha was honored by Egyptian Jews out of fellowship with the Lord, out of the homeland, in captivity after they went down there into Jeremiah, where they were forbidden to go in the book of Jeremiah. They called it the Alexandrian canon. That is, they recognized that the Apocrypha was something that the dead Orthodox Gnostic school of Alexandrian philosophers in apostate Egypt recognized as the Word of God. The Apocrypha was never accepted by any single born-again Bible-believing Christian anywhere on the face of the earth in the first, second, third century. It's the Alexandrian canon. The Syriac in 150, the old Syriac, is missing five Catholic epistles, as is also its revision by Rabul of Peshitta. And this is the testimony of Tatian in 170. Vaticanus, according to this writer, was written in Egypt and appeared in Caesarea after Origen moved there, page 196, which reminds us about the fact that earlier we mentioned the fact that old Origen didn't begin to write in that Alexandrian style until he'd gone up to Caesarea and got a hold of him of a real copy of the Bible and came back and perverted the thing. He moved around the country and did all the damage he could. This is the opinion of Dr. G.I. Robbins, 1928, page 111, where did we get our Bible? The press and lithographers have 300 changes in the AV of 1611 to 1613. 1701 Usher's chronology was added by Bishop Lloyd. 383 marginal notes were added to 1762. Dr. Farris' additions in 1769, Dr. Blaney. 76 changes in weights and coins, better punctuation, 1806-1813. Now, why am I reading you this matter? Because you boys listening to my voice have had it soaked into your head that not even the King James Bible of 1611 was left intact, but was revised several times before the Immaculate Edition of 1813 was put out. There's only one erratum in the lithographer's work, in the publisher's work, lithographer, in the press. And yet all these changes in the AV since 1611, the 300 between 1611 and 1613, the Usher's chronology in 1701, the 383 marginal notes in 1762, the 76 changes in weights and coins, every one of these changes deals with punctuation of an English sentence or spelling of an English word or marginal data. Which accounts for why earlier on this tape I said, if any man listening to my voice thinks that the King James revision is a revision in the sense that the other Bibles are revisions, he is either a lying hypocrite or a lazy ignoramus. And I meant just exactly what I said, brother. The changes made from the King James text are not changes in the Greek text. The changes made in the RV, ASV, RSV, Willett, Williams, Moffat, Weymouth, Goodspeed, Amplified, Berkeley, Centennial, Santa Claus, Mickey Mouse, Pogo, and Little Red Riding Hood, and Orphan Annie, and the New American Standard Version, are changes in Greek text, Greek spelling, Greek punctuation, and Greek sentences. It's a different set of manuscripts. So don't hand us all that jazz about the King James being itself a revision. Listen, if you ever told your class that, Professor, you misled them. You didn't tell them the way it differed. You say, well, yes, Plunge, be specific, Doctor. You're supposed to be a scholar. You're supposed to earn your salary. Be specific. Origen began the philosophical school at Caesarea in 235 or 254 and took corrupt manuscripts up to Caesarea after being excommunicated. This is page 275. And this gives us tremendous length. This means that if any corruption is found in the Peshitta, if there's any trouble in manuscripts found in the Byzantine series of manuscripts, or if there are any errors or non-Byzantine readings found in the Textus Receptus, it means they got in there through Origen going up to Caesarea and starting a philosophical school in spite of the fact that the Textus Receptus said, beware of philosophy, Colossians chapter 2.
and carried corrupt manuscripts up there with him after being excommunicated from the church. Origen had had a hand in perverting the original Peshitta. Page 237. The Philoxenian and Harkley in the Syriac, 508, according to this writer, was revised at Alexandria. Page 238. The Palestinian Syriac of lectionaries is not this Syriac. What does this mean? This means that the original Peshitta of the 4th century that was taken from Old Syriac and the Greek Vulgate of the 1st and 2nd century was changed by Origen before Rabula made his revision. That isn't all. It means that this revision that Origen made was made in Alexandria, Egypt, where was edited and revised and published and promoted the work of Sinaiticus and Vaticanus. The whole entire school is marked by apostate Greek Gnostic scholarship and apostate liberal Jews in Egypt, a type of this world. And when I say King James Bible is the Word of God, buddy, I'm not fooling you a bit. I mean, it is so powerful, it is able to correct your Greek lexicon. I mean, it is so powerful, it can correct your method of obtaining the manuscripts that you quote to correct it with. And the evidence mounts. The critics give North Africa credit for the Latin translation. Page 240, that's of Jerome. But the Itala, the old Italian, the old Italic, which I gave you references on before, by the dozen. The old Itala, used by the Waldensians and Albigensians, is a Byzantine Syrian text, and lo and behold, it is written in Antioch, where the disciples are first called Christians. This is the opinion of Horst Sanday and Kennedy in the Bible Dictionary, Volume 3, page 54 to 55. Augustine, bless his little North African heart, spent his time in North Italy revising this Itala, Old Latin, page 241, and the old Itala, bless its soul, included Revelation and 2nd, 3rd John, page 241, which is omitted in the Peshitta. Now, one more, and then we'll slap it together right now. The summation of the evidence given by those for and against my position. And I realize some of you scholars maintain your position simply because you feel safe in the majority. I know that. You haven't got any guts. I recognize that to start with. Well, Ruckman is the only one that believes this. Therefore, well, my friend, if you want the Broadway, get on it. The summation of the evidence is the original manuscripts were Greek papyrus codices written in Koine street language Greek, used universally by the Lord and his apostles and everybody else near the first century. These manuscripts were accumulated in the book form in Antioch, and from Antioch they were copied into Old Itala and Old Syriac. And these copies went up into, the Old Syriac goes out east into Arabia Syriac and Persia and India. The Itala goes up into Romania, Austria, Hungary, to Germany during the Reformation. As these manuscripts come out of Antioch and the Caesarea and other places, Origen moves up, led by the devil and controlled by his father Satan, in his best effort to corrupt as many of these possible before the gospel gets out. And from the corrupt Alexandrian school, he brings the abdominal filth of Sinaiticus and Vaticanus with the apocryphal junk in it, the Alexandrian canon. And on the western coast of Caesarea in Palestine sets up a philosophical school from which scholars get a hold of young preachers and Christians and insert the Apocrypha into the old Latin. Where this has not been done and the Latin starts up in through the Balkans, Augustine switches from North Africa to North Italy and waits with bated breath and cat's claws and revises this Italian and inserts the Apocrypha back in it, as you already have statements that he was for it from beginning to end. That is, as the gospel starts going north, northwest, and northeast from Antioch in the direction of the Great Commission, in the direction of the Apostle Paul, you have Origen waiting in Caesarea to cut it and pervert it on the south side, and on the west, Augustine and Tatian waiting to cut to pieces. And the American Standard Version and the New American Standard Version is the result of this work. And if you still doubt the statement I keep making, I'm going to take you, sonny boy, into the internal evidence of 160 Greek manuscripts in the critical apparatus of Nestle's Greek New Testament and show you I just flat know exactly what I'm talking about. All right. The RV, Mrs. Vaticanus and Sinaiticus was a secret text privately circulated with no layman present, circulated among the ecclesiastical big shots that met in the secret council. All gave themselves the authority to construct their own text, which is not a Bible text. Page 369, 372. RV differs from Westcott and Hort in 200 places, but the RV differs from the Textus Receptus in 5,788 places with 36,191 changes. Page 372 in the work cited. Therefore, when you say the RV, ASV, and RSV were Bible revisions in the same sense the King James were, you are, sir, an unmitigated, habitual, chronic liar. The idea of comparing 300 changes in marginal notes and punctuation of the same Greek text with 36,191 changes in the Greek manuscript. You say you believe the ASV is the most accurate translation? I say that, sir, that alongside a blank idiot, you might appear to have an IQ of 80.